Father, thank you for the gathering of your people. Thank you for the sending of your son. We ask, God, that you speak to our hearts. Open our minds to receive from you, to enjoy you, enjoy your word, and to grow, to be more like Jesus. Amen. Christmas, the story of Jesus being born in a manger, God coming in the form of a flesh, is not a new story. It's not a new story at all. It's depicted many different ways throughout time, including the what our young kids did with the lovely King Herod. It was so amazing, you couldn't be mad at him. He may have said, kill the baby Jesus, but you're like, no, he doesn't mean that. It was way too adorable. But in streams, we do things like play with our kids to be as a form of worship. It's an opportunity for our kids to get involved and to serve. And that's how we celebrate as streams. Other churches would not do that the same way. Okay. They would expect there to be some organs playing, some chimes, some handbells, different things done in different ways. And it creates a bit of a tension because if maybe you're visiting a church for the first time, you may not know what their expectation is for worship. What is worship about? Over the years, as things have changed and things have been updated in some senses, there's been a thing called worship wars. Well, my message today is about joining the generations. Joining the generations, songs of prophetic praise. Streams is in a unique place as a congregation to help join the generations in worship. So what I'm going to share today about the story of Jesus and some of the prequels, should I say, about Jesus' coming and his birth is really talking about how worship can be done in a way that honors old generations, how they've done things, with how things are being done and updated. So we're going to end up bringing things together by God inspiring our praise and our worship. So, as we move forward, just think about things you've done in the past and how things may be changing and maturing and growing, but ultimately God is bringing all of us together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to celebrate him and his life, death, resurrection, and ultimately return. So, Ken, can you please bring my first scripture up for me, please? So we talk about worship. What is worship? Probably the most important text we could ever talk about is one out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. It says, you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. This scripture, this text in Deuteronomy was one of the primary texts that was used to understand what it means to really serve God. This text is super important, not because it's Old Testament and Deuteronomy text, but it's actually the quote that Jesus actually made in the New Testament. When Satan was challenging Jesus about false worship, Jesus made it really clear to the enemy, Satan, that the Lord alone is to be feared. The Lord alone is to be worshiped. There's no other name, there's no other person, there's no other emphasis of our worship other than the God of heaven. God Yahweh. Well, the context for that particular story is Jesus is being challenged to bow down to worship something or someone else. Reality is whether you come from whatever tradition you come from, Baptist, Methodist, non-denominational, Catholic or otherwise, we're all here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Worship in many senses is considered really just the soul adoration, the soul glorification, the soul appreciation and treasuring of the one true God. So the text says you should fear only the Lord. You should worship him and him alone. Worship is really about us showing with our lives, our words, our songs, and our choices to honor the God of heaven and him only. It's an exclusive relationship. Nothing new. Nothing new about that. However, when you think about worship in multiple contexts, sometimes my definition of what it means to worship God may look different than somebody else's because I have a different tradition, I have a different background, I have a different history. Sometimes those differences can cause friction. Some people think it has to have an organ. Some people think it has to have a chorus. Some think it has to have a large choir. If you've, I come from a church tradition that's historically had these 40, 50, 60, 70 people in a choir that are singing these canons of music. Reality is not the only way of worshiping God. Why am I talking about this? Ultimately, as we celebrate Christmas, as we interact with people who are different from us, there can come a divide. Our worship can be true. Our worship can be real. Our worship can be genuine from the heart. It can be soulful, focused, efforts to honor God and all that he has done through Christ. However, our neighbor to our left, maybe to our right, may not see it that way. I think the Lord is up to something. What he's up to is ultimately tied to what he's done in the scriptures, which is make and empower us to worship in spirit and truth in a unified fashion. Okay, please, next scripture. In Luke chapters 1, verses 46 through 55, we're going to read a story about this person you may have heard of. Her name is Mary. I think she was played by one of the Siski kids back there. All right, Mary, obviously the mother of Jesus, was inspired to sing a song of worship, a song of praise to the Lord. We're going to read through the song. I'll bring out some hints about this song, as well as another song later on in the same chapter. We're going to talk about how things are common, how they're a little bit different, but ultimately there are examples of what God-inspired, spirit-inspired prophetic worship actually is, that worship that joins generations, one that's not just of one age or of another age, but one that actually includes all generations to come together and sing songs that honor God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 46 says, "And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he is had regard for the humble state of his bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from the thrones and exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our..." Ooh, and there we go. I think we're finished right there. Okay? Oh, no, yeah. "And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Mary and her song, the song that she just spontaneously rose and sang out of being moved on by God's Spirit, is talking about several different things. But if you know, Mary was a teenager. Mary wasn't really educated because the culture didn't tend to educate women of their age. Mary wasn't what you would expect to be biblically trained or theologically sound. But out of her heart came this wonderful song about the deliverance of God for God's people because God's Spirit moved upon her heart. This young lady wasn't well off, wasn't necessarily the one you'd expect to birth forth in this rich, theologically grounded song, was able to come forth with a song that talked about God's tremendous mercy and his willingness and his desire to set the whole nation free. Her song was extremely personal. Multiple times she says, "My soul is going to magnify. My soul was..." Her servant, him as a servant, was set to be blessed in this situation. For me, it was a very personal song for her. It wasn't just this big, grand, distant thing where God, afar off, helps people we don't know. It was coming from the depths of her heart, saying that she herself was grateful for what God was doing and how God was interacting with her. She made it really, really clear that if you look at the text, it has different texts where the texts are in bold. Well, those texts in bold in this translation talk about how those are direct quotes from the Old Testament. In the midst of her worship, in the midst of this just spontaneous song, kind of quotations out of the Old Testament about what it really means to worship God or to have God be the deliverer, be the God of promise that delivers them. If we look at the next scripture, we're going to look at another song from a different individual in the exact same chapter, but a little different story. This gentleman was named Zechariah. If you know Zechariah from the story, it was amazing he said anything given the context. The context was an angel came to him, just like an angel came to Mary. Mary made a good choice and said, "Oh God, your will be done." When Zechariah had an angelic visitation, he questioned the angel and the angel struck him mute. So the 15-year-old young lady, untrained young lady, had a really awesome experience with an angel. The up in age 60-plus gentleman with all his theological background experience was spoke to by an angel. He doubted and was left mute for a couple of months until he figured out how to respond properly. So there's a contrast between the two stories, but ultimately you see that the youth actually can lead us in worship in ways that sometimes the more mature amongst us don't get it. But nonetheless, it says in verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. And he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to, so mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Same song, different messenger. The message of rescue, the promise of rescue, the promise of God showing up and keeping the promise of God to Abraham. But similar context, similar thing. We see in both songs that God is inspiring the hearts of men and women to really see that God is a merciful God who reaches out and delivers those who call upon his name. Those who want to be set apart, those who want to be set aside to relate to God in ways that are not common, that are not the normal, everyday, spiritual way of living. Lots of people in our day say they're spiritual. Spiritual means they believe that something else exists. They don't know what it is, who it is, how they got in touch with this spirit, but they know they're spiritual. Well, both Mary and Zacharias, one young, one old, were touched by God's spirit to produce a wonderful song that's being celebrated in every Christmas season in most traditions around the world. Zachariah's story is a little less personal. It wasn't about me, my, or me. It was much more, in some senses, rich in terms of the history of Israel, where it talks about how holiness and righteousness are things that God has set aside for God's people. But nonetheless, a true example of what it means to worship God in spirit and truth. They both have a common theme. This is about what God has done to come deliver his people. Just as a story of the party for baby Jesus, real reality is, it's a story about God sending the Emmanuel, God being with us, God being in our midst, him being the solution for our problem. The problem is, yes, a bigger, better force or power or Satan being involved. But actually, the power is about us and the choices that we make and our own ability to get out of our own way. Like, God has promised deliverance for me. There's a famous book that says, I've seen the enemy, and he is me. If we want to be honest with ourselves, we are, as Pastor says multiple times, sometimes we take out the gun and shoot off our own toes. Sometimes we blame the wounds that we get on other people when they're actually a reflection of our own poor choices. Well, God has promised by sending Jesus to be the deliverer of us from ourselves. And that song came forth from the mouth of a 15-year-old as well as a 60-year-old priest who's dedicating his life to serving the Lord. Now, what does that mean? In the long term, how's it applied to prophetic worship or God-inspired worship? Both songs were sang under one very special condition. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the form of a baby, was actually with both Mary and was both with Zacharias. If you look at the history, they were both in the same room at the exact same time when these words came forth. The manifest presence of God, God in the flesh, dwelling amongst men, inspires our worship to be different. It inspires our worship to change. It's not just a young people worship. It's not just an old people's worship. It's something that transcends age, time, and culture. Jesus, when he's actually with us by his spirit in this new age of the New Testament, ultimately leads us to worship that looks radically different and in some senses harmonious. People who wouldn't otherwise be able to enjoy one another's presence in their worship can suddenly get along and be together and worship in spirit and truth. Earlier, you may have noticed Holly was singing some songs, singing some choruses that actually didn't necessarily show up on the screen. That was an example of what prophetic worship looks like. It's something that we all can join in, something that's accessible to all peoples, but it doesn't necessarily come from a pre-written or pre-directed worship lineup. If you've come in and worship before our streams, lots of times other people are inspired by God's Spirit to sing things that are new, sing a new song. The question is how and why. One more text, if you could, Ken. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, yet you are holy, you are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. An author said that the meaning of scripture is actually super important for us in terms of worship, because when we worship God, God has a habit of showing up. Now, God is always every place. He's always present. He's always all-knowing. He's everywhere and all the time. But sometimes he does something different. He actually shows himself to his people. The quotation says, the thought here is that God dwells, reveals himself where his people praise him. He inhabits the very praise of his people. So God shows up. God inhabits. God shows up and arrives in a situation. And when he arrives, things change. It changes how we worship. It changes our focus and our attention, because he actually is present with us. In a similar way that all the wise men, the animals, the shepherds were able to come around the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a young man, that it changed how they looked at things. It changed how they reacted. When we're worshiping here at Streams and having the opportunity of God being with us, the worship changes, the worship adjusts, and it includes people of all ilk and all kind, and all background. Now, what's that mean for us? Practically speaking, it just means that the people of God have to be the people of God. We have to be willing to engage with him, in honest ways. We have to be willing to be together. We can have wonderful times of worship by ourselves at our homes. Awesome. I love to sing. I love to worship God in the privacy of my own home, my car, my bathroom, or my deck or my lawn. However, we're talking about something bigger than my individual opportunity to worship. When we all gather as God's people and we sing praises to his name, when we enthrone him all together, it turns into a dynamic that we know is powerful, a dynamic that is transformative. And because I'm not making this up, our last scripture before we close will be Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 this morning. Ephesians 5 says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with our heart to the Lord. All thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. The scriptures say, one, worship isn't just an individual thing. One, two, it's something that's done in community. Speaking to one another, speaking at home by yourselves is still worship, but it's not worship that he desires when he desires us to speak one to another. Hymns, songs, and spiritual songs are a variety of ways of us worshiping God. One commentator says spiritual songs are those spontaneous songs that arise out the hearts of men when you're worshiping together in community. And all those things are possible because we are filled with the Spirit. We as individuals are filled with God's presence, but we as a corporate body are filled with God's presence. And out of those times, out of those activities, do we see spontaneous worship that actually includes the young and the old, the more mature, the less seasoned, and ultimately bring honor to God that really joins the generations. I challenge all of you. We realize that Jesus is the reason for the season. And we're not going to just say that just because it's Christmas or Christmas Eve on this day. But the reality is he's the reason for us all to gather. He's all been called to reconcile all of us to God, our Father, by faith and what he's done by his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Celebrating Jesus today, celebrating Jesus tomorrow is awesome. But his worship is a little bigger than just one day, one weekend. We would encourage all of you who don't have a place to worship, who are not connected to a body of people who believe, to get connected, to enjoy the worship that actually is across his generations, across his cultures, and has gone on for thousands of years at this point. As we wrap up, as I conclude, if you are not a member of a local congregation, if you're not actively walking with Jesus, please speak to a leader, speak to a pastor, speak to someone here who's willing to point you toward the church that you might be interested in attending, be it Streams or someplace else. If you're not walking with God, if you're not sure you're even what that means, feel free to ask somebody who would be willing to have a discussion with you so we can say and know that Jesus is not just the reason for this season, but he's the reason for us all being called God's people. Amen? I'm going to close in prayer, and we'll enjoy our festivities from this point forward. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the presentations of the Streams kids ministry, God. Pray, God, that we enjoy one another, but we most and foremost enjoy you and the gift of the Lord Jesus. We ask, God, that you bless us as we return to our respective homes and places. And we ask that we recognize and know, even as we close 2017 and open 2018, that you're the reason for every season. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.